Hey podcast people, how's it going? Azrin the Language Nerd here. I hope you're having a fantastic Friday afternoon or whatever day and time it is for you right now as you are listening to this podcast episode. I would encourage you all to follow me on different social platforms. I would appreciate that oh so much. My username is Polyglot Azrin. That is spelled P-O-L-Y-G-L-O-T-A-Z-R-Z, depending on your country, R-E-N. And you can find me on Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, YouTube, LinkedIn, TikTok, and of course on Twitter. And with that aside, let's dive into today's podcast episode. And today's episode has one central theme, which is the word specificity. Is that a word? Being specific. Let's just say that. Being specific. That is the topic or the theme of today. I want to tell you guys a little bit of a story, something that's been happening in my world, in my business life, I suppose you can say. So many of you may or may not know that my business offers lots of free classes for a wide variety of foreign languages. In fact, there's 7 foreign languages for which we offer free classes every single week. And we've offered free classes for languages for a long time, a number of years now. I would say something like 3 or 4 years. And it's one of the core pillars of my business. And recently I noticed something, and this has only been happening, I would say, for the past roughly 6 months, maybe a little bit less, maybe a little more. I would say roughly 6 months-ish, if I had to take a guess. I've noticed that something has changed where, over the past 6 months, where when people sign up for a free class, a very low percentage of the people actually show up for the free class. In other words, in the past, when people signed up for free classes, actually more people would sign up than who showed up, meaning 25 people would show up and 25 people would sign up and 32 would show up. Those are the kind of numbers that we would have. And it was actually kind of a problem sometimes because back then our events and our classes were in person. So sometimes there'd be so many people who signed up that I had to tell people, like, listen, if you haven't signed up, there's actually physically not enough chairs in this room, in this coffee shop, in this office space, in this location. There's not enough chairs for you, for all of you, right? Because only 25 people were supposed to show up, but now there's 33 of you. And the place where we made the reservation told us that they only had space for up to 28. Like, it was almost a problem at times. And right now I'm facing the opposite problem, which is literally no exaggeration. I had a class last week, a free class that I taught. There were about 25 or 30 people who signed up for the class. It's free, by the way. Of the 25 or 30 people who signed up, 4 of them actually showed up. That's a really low percentage. That's very low. That's lower than I'm comfortable with. I don't like that. I would be okay with 40 to 50% of people showing up. I think that is a percentage I'm okay with. But 4 people on 25 or 4 people on 30, that's terrible. That's like less than 25%. It's really, really low. And so when it came to this business problem, I wanted to start solving it. And so in order to solve it, it was important for me to get specific. And as I said, that is the topic of today's podcast, getting specific. I think a lot of people, when they're faced with a problem, what they do is they treat the problem in very generic and general terms. For example, if we take something related to languages, a lot of language learners will make comments such as, I want to get better at French. I want to get better at Spanish. I want to get better at this language. I want to improve my listening comprehension. But what they don't understand is that those are such general statements. What does that mean that you want to get better at French, or better at Spanish? Do you want to get better at writing? Do you want to get better at reading? Do you want to get better at listening? And heck, even if you decide, okay, I want to get better at writing. Well, what does that mean that you want to get better at writing? Do you want to get better at writing essays? Do you want to get better at writing emails? Do you want to get better at writing text messages? What does it mean that you want to get better at listening? Do you want to get better at listening to the radio? Do you want to get better at listening to your textbook audios? Do you want to get better at listening to native speakers talk to you in conversation? What do you want to get better at? And then we've got to take it a step further. We have to go more and more specific, more and more narrow. You might say, okay, I want to be able to listen to native speakers when they're talking in videos because I want to watch YouTube videos and understand. We go, okay, great, you want to understand those. Well, we can go even more narrow, and I think it's important at times. What YouTube channels do you want to be able to understand? right? Maybe are you watching travel channels? Are you watching, like, what kind of things are you watching? Because listen, I'll tell you, I've been learning French for 23 years. I've spoken it for almost my whole life. And I was in France a couple of years ago and we were watching this TV show. And I understood, I kid you not, 50% of the show. You might think, what? 23 years of study and you only understood 50% of the show? Well, yeah, let me tell you why. Because the show was a sketch comedy show. And they're doing a lot of sketch comedy as if they were in the medieval ages. So the type of French and expressions they're using is a type of French I've never really encountered. Now, a native French speaker would probably at least have some general idea of what they're saying and at least have enough French knowledge to understand it, but not me. Similarly to, like, when there's certain things in English that I never... Here's a great example. I was teaching an English class and we were watching a TV show, and in the show, the main character is doing a prayer and she's saying, like, I forget the exact line, but it's like, may God deliver us from evil or something like that, or and she's using, like, God, thou art in heaven, or there's a line that's something like that that I never use, but I've seen it so many times in TV shows, I know what it means. But a non-native speaker of English would be so lost understanding that. So that's very similar in this medieval French series I was watching, or the show I was watching, where they're using these expressions that are quite common knowledge, I would assume, to people in France, native speakers, but for someone like me, I've just never encountered that. So it's not fair to say, okay, I just want to get better listening comprehension, I want to watch YouTube videos. Well, that's not a very fair statement, is it? Because, well, what channels do you want to watch? Who do you want to watch? What kind of language are they using? Are they, what's the topic of the channel? Then we can take it even more. We can actually dig even further into it. We can dig further and we can say, well, okay, you're telling me I want to watch these four YouTube channels. Great. I like their videos. I think they're interesting. I want to understand what they're saying. There's four of them, let's say you decide. Well, we got to get more specific. Well, what are the barriers that stop you from understanding them? Is it the vocabulary? Is it they speak so quickly and you can't process the information? What's the barriers? Well, then we got to identify all the barriers. Then we have to go even more specific and say, okay, well, these are the 27 barriers that stop you from understanding these videos. Well, how? And we got to go as specific as possible until we've narrowed down what the actual problems are and we've identified all of the problems. And once we've identified all the problems, we have to start working on them one at a time. Otherwise, it's super overwhelming. We have to start one at a time and we need to start solving each problem one at a time. And in fact, before you start to solve them, you actually have to brainstorm options of how you might solve those problems. It's a very long and complex process. And yet, and here's the thing, to an extent, I think there's tremendous value in organizing your process that, how do I say this? There's a lot of value in being specific in that manner, because being specific and breaking things down to very minute steps and minute pieces, small pieces, it's an effective way to actually make meaningful progress towards a goal that you have. So let's go back to the initial example I was giving for my business. The first thought I had is, oh my God, I want more people to attend my classes. That's the first thought I had. I want more people to attend my drop-in, my free classes. The attendance is too low. That was my first thought. It's too hard to solve that problem. It's not specific enough. I haven't specified what the real problem is yet. So it turned me, I remember thinking to myself, how can I get more people to show up? And I was like, I'll run advertisements, I'll do this. And then I realized after, wait a second, okay, I need to make this problem much more manageable, because right now it's so abstract and it's not specific enough. It's too hard for me to find an accurate solution. So I thought to myself, okay, I'm not happy with the number of people who are showing up. I thought to myself, how many people do I want to show up? I didn't really know what the answer was. I was like, 30, 20? It was really difficult for me to pick a number, but I told myself 30. 30 is a number. I would like 30 people to always attend on average every group class that is offered. 30 people at French, 30 is the number I want to strive for. Okay, great. I want 30 people to come. How many people are coming now? And I started to look at how many people are coming now. And I, to be honest, could have looked in more depth, but I started to have a look, and basically, it depended on the class, there'd be between, you know, there's different numbers in different classes. I looked at across all languages, looked at the numbers. I thought, okay, I'm really far from 30 on average in every class. I'm pretty far from that number. Ooh, how can I even go plus 5 in every class. Right now, Gujarati has this as an average. Mandarin has this as an average. I looked at my average, like, okay, what can I do to go plus 5? Like, what can I do? Where is there ability for me to, make any kind of progress, right? So I started to look at that. I started to get more specific with the problem. And I thought, oh, look, there's real opportunity here. When 30 people sign up for a class, it's super common for there to be 5 or 4 who show up. Well, that's a problem, because even if 10 on 30 show up, I mean, that's still not very good, but for crying out loud, that's a huge step in the right direction. 10 would be amazing. If 10 on 30 actually showed up, wow, that would be pretty good, wouldn't it? So then I thought, okay, why aren't there 10 people showing up? What am I doing wrong that 10 people are not showing up when 30 sign up? And I started to analyze the sign-up process for free classes. And I, as I analyzed it, I decided, wow, there are some very obvious problems that I've always known existed, I just never fixed. And so look, I went from, I want more people to sign up for my classes, to I want, and it got more specific, and I realized, okay. And it basically got more specific to the point of, okay, I want more people who sign up for a class to show up for a class. Those are two different problems. But the problem of I want more people who sign up for a class to actually show up for a class, it's a much more specific problem, and it's a much more, I've defined the problem in much more detailed terms, so it's easier to fix. And even me, I told myself, I want 10 people on 30 to show up. That was my initial thinking. 10 on 30 is much better than 5 on 30. Like, that's way better. Can I get 10 on 30 to show up? 33% to show up. In my head, that's what I was working towards. And then I, to be honest, took it more specific, because then I looked at what are the actual problems that I'd like to solve. So then I realized that the problems were that the page that has the links for the classes was not user-friendly. So then I went from, I want more people to show up, to I need to make this page more user-friendly. And I thought, how can I make it more user-friendly? Well, there has to be a picture here. Okay, let me put that picture there. So you're trying to break, all I'm trying to say, I hope this is all making sense. I know I'm talking a lot and hopefully I'm not being too scatterbrained, but the point I'm trying to say is you want to break down whatever goal you have, language learning related or non-language learning related, you want to break it down to the smallest and most actionable pieces of the most actionable steps possible. You want to break it down to small steps that you're like, oh, I could take that step. And you want to go do those small steps. So for me to, hopefully, we're going to see how things play out, but I think I might have taken a step in the right direction to solve the attendance problem at my classes. I realized that there were like 29 minute problems that I had to fix. One, my confirmation page needed a better picture at the top. Two, my confirmation page needed to very clearly say at the top, links for online classes. Problem number three, there was no clear line that said how to access your class. Problem number four, it was difficult for your eyes to see where to click and access your class. Problem number five, the class times were not listed in a visually easy to read manner on the confirmation page. Problem number six, there were like 29 different minute problems that each took maybe 7 minutes to fix. But each minute problem, I solved 29 small problems to hopefully fix the big problem. So in a language, if you're struggling with speaking, well, you need to figure out what are the 70 small problems that are stopping you from speaking. And you have to minutely work your way through those 70 small problems. It's important to only focus on one problem at a time, because focusing on 70 small problems is overwhelming. But you need to at least focus on one thing at a time and fix one thing. For some of you, if looking at 70 is too overwhelming, you might need to pick one. Like, what is the most obvious and easiest problem for me to go solve that would help me make progress in terms of my speaking? And you might go, well, the biggest problem, the easiest problem for me to solve is I never have anyone to talk to, or whatever. It's going to be different for everybody. Pick the easiest problem for you to solve and something that you actually believe you have a shot of solving. Figure out some potential options of how you'd be able to solve that problem and go solve that, try to solve that problem. You have to do that. Once you start taking steps to solve that problem, you're going to realize that you're going to realize that you were actually wrong, and maybe that wasn't the real problem, but at least you took some steps, and if you hadn't taken those steps, you wouldn't have realized that's not the real problem. Or maybe you start to make some steps towards that, and you decide, actually, that's not really the kind of steps I should have been taking. I thought those are the steps I should take, but they're not working. But you wouldn't have realized that unless you took those steps. Does that make sense? Anyway, I'm hoping that this was clear today. I don't know if it was. I was, I suppose, maybe a bit more scatterbrained than usual, but hopefully, fingers crossed, it was still a useful podcast for you guys. Thank you for listening as always, and we'll talk later. Bye for now. See you.